Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Congresswoman Dina Titus for the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Congresswoman Dina Titus. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Well, thank you, Sam. It's my pleasure.
Well, as the Republicans are jubilant today, I have a feeling, judging by your press release from yesterday, you're not feeling quite the same way.
Well, that's right. They're calling it a Christmas present. I'm calling it a lump of coal.
Do you want to start going into specifics?
Well, it's certainly not good for the people in my district. They call it a tax cut jobs bill. It's really a jobs cut tax scam bill. You know, it gives the great percentage of the benefits to people at the very top when it comes to income. The few benefits that go to individuals are deadlined, they end, but those that go to corporations continue forever. It kicks people off of health insurance, which shouldn't be part of a tax bill. It allows drilling in the Arctic, which again shouldn't be part of a tax bill. There's just nothing really in there to like very much if you're not a big corporation or a multimillionaire real estate developer.
Now, isn't one of the reasons why the tax breaks for regular citizens drops off is because of the way that this bill was passed using reconciliation, and that Congress would have the opportunity to make those permanent down the road?
Well, you know, we usually do a bill at the end of every year that's a continuation of certain benefits. That's what we've done in the past. But that doesn't give people much security, and there's no guarantee that that will happen. You're right, they did use reconciliation, and that's a process that allows them in the Senate to only need 51 votes as opposed to being able to overturn a filibuster.
I have to
remember, Sam, also, this bill had no hearings, no public testimony, no expert input. It was done by dark of night, passed by dark of night. They didn't even know what was in it themselves. That's why we had to go back and vote on it again today, because they had to correct some things that didn't follow the Senate rules. So it's a huge bill, and I think we'll be correcting it for a long time because they're not even sure what they're voting for.
Now, for me to take the other side here for a moment and play devil's advocate, I mean, the same thing really applied with the passing of Obamacare.
No, it certainly did not. We had months of hearings. Public hearings. Now, in the end, the Republicans didn't support it, but it wasn't because it was done in secret. It was done absolutely out front with hundreds of people testifying, so there is no comparison. And let's not forget that one of the ways they want to pay for this is by cutting Medicare. So that goes right to seniors, and that goes into effect next year. But the way they are paying for it, to try to keep the deficit from being even higher than it already is, even though they've always said you got to bring down the deficit, is to cut Medicare. Now, seniors in my district aren't going to go for that.
And Congressman Amade did want to welcome you to the Deficit Hawk Club.
Well, he can make jokes all he wants to, but he's going to have to defend his action because he voted for it.
I've got a quote from your press release because it's my favorite press release of the year. You said, with this job cuts and tax scam bill, the GOP, to paraphrase Clint Eastwood, is pissing on our boots and calling it rain. Pretty strong words.
Well, that's a Western expression that I figure people could understand.
No, I'm sure they can. Obviously, the Republicans have wanted this, not just in this Congress, but for years. They managed to get this put through in the space of 2 months. That's incredibly fast for Congress to act.
Well, when you do it at night and when you do it without hearings and you do it without input, I guess you can write whatever you want to in a short time if you got staff on it. I don't think speed is the real quality of the bill here. I think what's in it is what's the issue, and this ram and jam it, I think, will come back to haunt them. They wanted to give the president some kind of victory because nothing has been done for the entire year, and so this is what they came with. The politics of this, I think, are going to prove to be bad for them, even though they're celebrating now, because if you look at the majority of people in the country, the public opinion is opposed to this.
And you may well be right. And, you know, even Congressman Amadei said that, you know, it's hard to look out 10 years and predict what's going to be the effects of this. But let's look at the other side of this, for example. Even if the tax benefits go to corporations and they don't spend the money on jobs, but they, in fact, buy back stock or pay their stockholders in dividends, there are a lot of Democratic organizations that have money invested in the stock market. Isn't that a benefit to those people who are investors?
Well, you got to look at the percentage of the benefit. Yes, if you own a little stock, you may see that stock go up. But what really happens is these corporations never let it trickle down. How many times have they told us that trickle down would work? And it never has. The people at the top who own stock, most of the people who live in my district who are working every day, two jobs, both members of the family, just to make it through, don't own a lot of stock that are going to see any benefits from this.
But some of your people who are in that district will greatly benefit, I would say, the Steve Wynns, the Sheldon Adelsons.
Bingo.
And does that not benefit your district? Steve Wynn is investing a huge amount of money building on the golf course now, and has just purchased the former Allon site across the street. So that will, end up with a lot of construction jobs. And
Well, Sam, you listen to yourself. He's doing that now without the tax break. There's not a time in the economy when you need this tax break. Usually you do a tax break when the economic situation needs to be stimulated. There's plenty of money out there. Look at the jobless rate in Nevada, how much it's gone down, how much construction is happening. They're going to do this without all this extra money in their pocket. If they want to pay their employers more, I think that's great. If they want to let it trickle down, I'll be happy to see it. But it just never happens.
So let's look at the potential. I'm just trying to be devil's advocate here, because I can see good and bad, on all sides of this bill. So as you point out, the unemployment rate in Nevada is pretty darn low at this point in time. And with all the problems going on in California, as far as construction is going to be needed for the fire damage in the north and south, the flood damage in Houston, Florida, Puerto Rico, we don't have enough construction workers in Nevada now to deal with the $16 to $20 billion worth of projects already on the boards. Doesn't this open the door for Democrats to be able to push forward with some kind of immigration reform, even if it's just something like the Brasero program from the 50s?
Well, I certainly hope so. We've been talking about immigration reform for ever since I've been back here in Congress, when I signed on to the original Dreamer Act. And the Republicans say they want immigration reform, but they just never seem to get it done. Just like right now, do you remember back in September when Pelosi and Schumer went to the White House and came out with Trump and said, we got a deal on DACA? Well, they can't even get a DACA fix done, which is just those children who came here when they were little. much less comprehensive immigration reform.
But don't they have until, what, February, March to be able to get that done?
March. But, you know, that leaves so many people in limbo who are losing their status between now and March. We had said we would get this done by the end of the year. It doesn't look like this, the DACA fix is going to be in any of this legislation that we're going to pass to keep government open.
And I was going to say, do you have any concerns that there's going to be a government shutdown, or do you think that you're going to see a continuing resolution?
They're probably going to do a clean continuing resolution for a couple of weeks and come back and start all over, and that is certainly no way to run a railroad, doing it 2 weeks at a time. That's ridiculous. They control both houses and the White House, and they can't seem to even get government working.
Well, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks here before the end of the year.
That's for sure. It's been interesting for the last couple of weeks. Usually this time of year, it's 2 days till Christmas, we'd be coming home, and now everything's up in the air.
The Republicans really had to get this done, don't you think, for their own party, with the failure of a replacement for Obamacare. Wasn't it mandatory that they had to get something major done?
Well, I guess their base is calling out for them to do something. They made a lot of promises during the campaign that they haven't fulfilled. And even now in this bill, it goes against some of the things that Donald Trump promised that he would and wouldn't do. So if they can't control all three branches, and including the court now, and still can't get anything done, then that's not much of a commentary on their ability. So they had to get something accomplished, or they certainly wouldn't have anything to run on next year.
All right, let's take a break. More with Dina Titus when we come back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're talking with Congresswoman Dina Titus. She represents CD1 in Southern Nevada. One of the things that you've got to be excited about was what happened in Alabama this past week.
Well, that was really amazing. People weren't sure how that was going to turn out until the last minute. The people of Alabama stood up and said, we cannot go this low. And they did not elect Roy Moore, and that was a great victory.
And what do you think this means for the Democratic Party around the country?
Well, it's hard to judge from one election to another because they're all so specific to where they take place. But if you look at Alabama and you look at New Jersey and you look at Virginia, you can say there certainly is a trend towards the Democratic Party. And all the polling now shows more people had rather see the Democrats in charge of Congress than the Republicans. So we've got a tailwind going, and I think we can carry that into the fall elections. I think there's a real good chance that the Democrats will take the House.
It was a tremendous get-out-the-vote effort on the part of the Democrats.
That's right. They sent a lot of folks into Alabama to be sure that the voter turnout was high, because in a special election, you know that that's a real challenge.
So how do you transpose this to the congressional races in Nevada, at least, seats 3 and 4?
Well, the Democrats have got a pretty good record of picking up open seats. I think Susie Lee is going to carry 3 because she's got a lot of people behind her, and the Republicans seem to have a primary and haven't really settled on who their candidate's going to be. 4, we've got to have to see what happens. Half a dozen people have called me and said they're interested in running, my main concern is let's pick somebody who not only can win this time but can hold the seat.
Do you want to share any names?
Oh, gosh. You've seen them in the press. There's Stephen Horsford. There's Regent Allison Stevens. There's Mayor John Lee. There's State Senator Pat Spearman. The list goes on.
Do you really think that Stephen Horsford would be willing to give up an extremely successful career in the private sector since he left Congress to run again?
Well, he's putting out feelers. He called me, so I think he's interested. I'm not sure if he can win or not. You know, he kind of, after he lost in a year that was bad for Democrats, but it was a 9-point district, he shouldn't have lost that district. Then he stayed back here in Washington and went to work as a lobbyist. You can kind of see the ads write themselves.
Okay, I get your point. And John Lee, would you be willing to support him if he decided to run?
Well, I can certainly work with John Lee. I work with him now with things that we do at the federal level to help local government. He fits the demographics of that district. You know, the Democrats are a big party. You don't all have to be liberal. You can all fit your own district. And I think he's gotten a lot of respect as mayor of North Las Vegas.
Were you surprised at the downfall of Congressman Kiwan?
Not particularly.
Do you want to elaborate?
No.
Okay. One of the things that I see for both the Republicans and the Democrats coming out of this tax plan is the ability, rather, for fundraising on both sides.
Well, I don't know, Sam, but the people I'm concerned about are the people who live and work in District 1, and those are not people who are going to give a lot of money to campaigns. They're the people who are working just to try to put their children through college, try to keep a roof over their heads, try to pay the car payments. So I don't know who you're talking about.
I'm talking about in general. I mean, it's amazing that you bring that up. You know, I get these releases almost daily. Send $1, send $5. Anybody can contribute at those amounts. And I think that for a lot of candidates across the country and for a lot of parties across the country, that people are sending in contributions at that lower level.
Well, there's a lot of enthusiasm against Donald Trump out there. And that started the very day after the inauguration with the Women's March. And these are just ordinary folks. You're right. They're not big tax or big lobbyists or big corporate firms. They're people who just see how this administration affects their daily lives. And they're more mobilized than I've seen in a long time. And sending in small contributions, showing up at rallies, going to town hall meetings, sending letters to congressmen, demonstrations here in Washington. It's happening at all, in a lot of different spheres.
All right, let's take a break. More with Congresswoman Dina Titus when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Congresswoman Dina Titus. Steve Sisolak, Chris Giunchiliani, what kind of race is that going to be?
I think that's going to be a tough race. Both of them are good campaigners. Both of them have their bases of support. Both of them are friends of mine. But I'm supporting Steve Sisolak in that race.
And why?
Well, for a number of reasons, but the most recent one is that the leadership he showed during that great tragedy on October the 1st told me that he's a person who can be governor and lead us in good times as well as bad.
Do you feel that race is similar to the, you know, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders race, where you have so two well-defined people on opposite sides of the Democratic spectrum?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. My main concern is let's not let Adam Laxalt get to be governor. If you look at his record, I mean, where has he been on all these issues affecting Nevada, ranging from expanding Medicaid to closing the background loophole?
Let's turn to presidential race, you know, 3 years out here. But Kristen Gillibrand seems to be really charging to the foreground here. Would you agree with that?
Well, she got a lot of attention recently when she went up against Donald Trump and in the case of calling for him to resign because of the sexual harassment charges. But there are a lot of kind of celebrity types looking at it. You got Kamala Harris. You've got the Booker from New Jersey. Joe Biden, who I love, is thinking about it. The lady from Massachusetts,
Senator Warren?
Yes, exactly, Elizabeth Warren. Bernie hadn't said he's not going to run. I think it's going to be just a big selection to choose from.
But do you not think that the Democratic Party, after this last presidential election cycle, needs to go to the next generation of leaders?
Well, we'll see what happens. Certainly, we are encouraging as many people to get into races as possible. More people are running this time than ever before. And Emily's List put out a statistic that whereas this time in the last cycle they had 1,200 people, women interested, this time they got like 20,000. So I think you're going to see a lot of new faces, and that'll be great.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much for taking out the time today. I know it's been a very busy last few days for you guys, and you're still working away. So thank you very much, as always. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lorianne, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
On our next broadcast, UNLV Professor of Political Science, David Damore. We'll see you then.